Matthew 28, please. Matthew 28. Matthew Holloway had just read this section to begin with, and let's look at it again, all right? Matthew chapter 28. There had been some unique responses to the crucifixion of Christ at the end of chapter 27. One of the hidden disciples of Christ, Joseph of Arimathea, had proclaimed his discipleship, had proclaimed that Christ was his Savior by taking Christ down from the cross. We learn in the book of John that Nicodemus had joined him there, being a testimony literally against what had happened in the Sanhedrin. Both of those men, probably a part of that assembly, whether they were in the room or not, they may have been, and they may have been casting the negative vote. It's very interesting, as you study the proceedings of the Sanhedrin, if there was a unanimous vote on something, that meant that it wouldn't go through. There always had to be a dissent. They felt like if it was unanimous, there was trickery involved in some way. And so could it be that Joseph of Arimathea, maybe Nicodemus, had actually said, no, Christ shouldn't be judged? Could they have been feeling guilty about that? I don't know. I do know this, because the scriptures tell us that at the end of chapter 27, they unashamedly and publicly, without saying a word, but in their demonstration of taking Christ down, they were connecting. They were saying, I'm following Christ, that he's that valuable. They didn't know what was going to happen next. Joseph had a tomb near at hand, put Christ in it. What a wonderful thought to realize that that tomb had never been corrupted by a dead person at that point. Christ was the first in, and he was the first out, too. And so we think of the disciples, and Christ had died. Their hopes dashed, their faith questioning. Well, I thought he was the Messiah. I thought he was the Savior. I thought he was King. And now he's dead. What does that mean? I've pointed this out before as we've looked at this. It's a joy to me, frankly, to see the faith of these two Marys who just wanted to honor Christ. They weren't coming expecting him to be risen. They were coming expecting him to be dead, and yet they came. That point of connection, we want to be near our Savior. Remember in John 11, Mary and Martha, their brother, Lazarus had died. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Martha, do you believe this? And Martha's proclamation, I believe that you're the Son of God. Now, what did, in our modern American thought, we sometimes wonder, why did she say that? She was saying he was the Messiah, that he would fulfill all of the promises of the Old Testament. But she was also in that admission admitting, I don't understand how this all works. I see that my brother is dead and I wish he was alive. I know that you're Messiah. I know that you're the Son of God. I know that you can do whatever you desire. You will always do what's right. You're God. What an amazing admission. And so here we come again, these Marys, and in some way connecting. Now, look what God does. And I want us just today to pick up a couple of things. In light of the reality that Christ is risen from the dead, what should you and I do? The responses here in Matthew 28 are astounding, and it should be something we should follow for most of them, all right? In the end of the Sabbath, verse 1, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, very localized, right near the town didn't fall down. It just on purpose, that earthquake was to take that stone out of the way. Now, did that stone need to be moved so Christ could get out? Oh, you guys are smart. Exactly. I mean, we'll find out later in some of the other accounts. He just appeared. He didn't need to get out. He could, and he was already out. Why did the stone get rolled away so that the witnesses, so that Mary and others could get in and see? Don't we have a great God? Always encouraging us as believers. Here, it's true. Come, look, I'll help you. Let me take the stone out of the way for you. And you come see, he's gone. I like the fact that Christ folded up the napkin that was over his face. He He was OCD too, like me. Anyways, that's great. Everything in its order. Right, there you go. Okay. All right, so here they come, all right? So the stone is rolled away. Great earthquake, verse 2, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance, this is the angel's countenance, was light like lightning, his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here. You're looking in the wrong place. For he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. Now, can you enjoy some humor with me for a moment? So the angel comes, the stone rolls away. The angel is as bright as lightning. He's sitting there waiting for the ladies. All the keepers have fallen down dead. Could it be that Mary and Mary had to step over a couple of zonked out soldiers to get in? I don't know. It could be that it didn't happen that way, but the way Matthew wrote it, in my mind's eye, I'm seeing them show up, and here's these guys just laying there in front of this lightning-like angel for fear. God is great, isn't he not? And his messengers are great, are they not, the angels? And so there, for fear, they've fallen over. Mary and Mary show up. They're just God's humble servants. Why weren't they scared? Because they had faith that Jesus was who he said, that his messengers were real. They were not fearful in judgment, of a coming judgment. They knew Christ as their Savior. They were anticipating something great. They sensed that there was, I don't get it. Is this, you know, he said something about rising again from the dead. It had to be in the back of their minds. And I realized, you say, how could that happen? Well, hadn't Mary and Martha seen their brother raised from the dead? Could not Christ do that? Could there be, in the midst of all of this narrative, this story, that Mary and Mary thought, could it be, I don't know, come around the corner, there's the angel. Like, what's going on? All right, so he invites them, come see the place. He's not here, he's risen. Now, he gives them a command, verse 7, and go quickly. Tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. No, go at it. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy. Ever been in a place where all your emotions run together at the same time? You're scared, but you're excited. That often is the description of what God does by his word in our life as we follow him. Asks us to obey. Could I put it this way? You need to go share the gospel with the world, but I'm scared. But it's with great joy. I mean, I'm saved. And with the Lord's help, they simply obeyed. So they departed quickly, they departed from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. Hang on for a minute. And they came and held him by the feet, worshiped him. Folks, as we rejoice today in the resurrected Christ, we can't see him physically yet. He's in glory, sitting right now at the right hand of his Father, anticipating and waiting his return. But should we not respond like these dear ladies, in utter joy and deep worship? He's our God. He's conquered death. Why is today a day of celebration? Because today proclaims that death no longer reigns, that my Savior is alive. My hope in heaven as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is absolutely secure. The heart response of to my Savior, my Redeemer, my Lord is simply to worship Him. Fall down and worship Him. Is your life a living example of worship to your God? This wasn't in a service that they bowed down and worshiped Him, clung to His feet in humility and joy. This is just along the way. Believer, as you go along your way, are you worshiping your great Redeemer, your resurrected Savior and Lord? Then Jesus said unto them, verse 10, be not afraid. Put your fear aside. It's all okay. Death is a defeated foe. Satan didn't win. Here I am. Here I am. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. So these dear ladies, faithful disciples of Christ, believed what they had seen. They worshiped, and then they run and hasten here to tell others the glorious and good news. Christ is risen indeed. We have seen Him. What a joy it was, I suspect. Could you imagine? We don't know who that angel was. Often the phrase angel of the Lord, especially in the Old Testament, referred to actually Christ, what we call a Christophany, Christ coming in pre-incarnate form, revealing Himself. Christ, part of who He is that He's the God in flesh. We could see Him. So He did that in the Old Testament, would come, reveal Himself as an angel. Here, obviously, Christ is risen. Could it be that He was the angel? It doesn't appear so, because in just a moment He's walking with Mary, with the Marys. Could you imagine, we can't fully, I understand, but you get picked to go pull the stone away. You get picked to declare to those dear ladies who had faith to believe, I'm sure the Lord knew and understand, they would accept my testimony, the testimony of my angel. They would be glad to go tell the disciples, here I am, I'm here. All is well. Don't be afraid. The joy of that angel to declare the wonderful news that Christ was risen. And He gives them comfort, proclaims truth. May we, like that angel, do the same to this world. Believers here today, is Christ risen, yes or no?
Yes.
Is that the truth?
Yes.
Does the world believe it?
No.
So that means I better keep my mouth shut, right? No. Thank you. I need to proclaim the wonderful truth to this world that there's a Savior who's alive, who can redeem their souls. He's already conquered death. He says, come, follow me. Let me save you from your sin. Let me take you to heaven one day when you die. What joy. They need to hear, is it my duty to convict them of sin? No, that's the Holy Spirit's job. What's my duty? Kind of like the angels. Just go tell the truth. You say, well, they won't hear. That's not your worry. Keep telling the truth. It wasn't up to the angel to convince Mary and Mary that Jesus had risen from the dead. He pointed out all the things that were real. Come here, look, He's gone. Now, I've got a command for you. You go tell the other disciples that Christ is risen. I think the disciples were probably glad that Mary and Mary came and told them. They were struggling. They were scared. And here come two dear ladies who had the courage to run to the tomb that morning. No matter what the Romans were like, we want to honor our Savior. And God, honoring their faith, lets them be the messengers then to the disciples. Ah, Christ is risen. Now, let's keep on reading, because all of a sudden our attention turns for a moment to those soldiers that were lying like dead men beside the tomb. Now, when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city. So again, another clue that it very well could be that Mary and Mary kind of had to step around these almost dead soldiers. Right? They had no faith. They had seen the power of God in that presence of that angel, and like anybody else, they fell in absolute fear. So they come into the town and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled, talking about the chief priests, with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, "Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come into the governor's ears," Pilate's ears, "it's come into the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews unto this day. The media picked it up. Here's the report. We've got the officials. And they said that they were sleeping and the disciples stole them away. It must be true. Folks, that the world believes a lie still to this day, don't let that surprise you. Satan, the father of lies, loves to spill them. And unfortunately, this world follows and believes them. What should we do about that? Go back to point number one. Keep telling them the truth. There will be those whose God's Spirit is working on their hearts. As you declare the truth, doing your job, their hearts will respond to that truth and say yes. Believer, do you remember when you got saved? I was six. Yes, I was a young boy. After I prayed and accepted Christ as my Savior that night, Mom and Dad leave the bedroom. It's time for me to go to bed. It was after church on Sunday night. You know, I got school the next day. My soul, let me put it that way. I'm just a little six-year-old, but my soul was giddy. I was thrilled. I had life. I had heard the word and believed it. God had redeemed my soul. I was glad to tell others about Christ. As a parent, my adult children, and then my younger children, it was always delightful to me to see them after they've accepted Christ as their Savior, to be anxious the next day to go tell somebody. Call grandpa and grandma. I just got saved. Now, believer, if we're serving a resurrected Christ who's conquered death, don't get over that fact. You stand redeemed today because Christ rose from the dead and he saved your soul from sin and hell and death. Amen. And may God help us to go tell, like Mary and Mary. And may we be willing now as we get into the rest of the passage to follow Christ's commands. Then the 11, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Why Galilee? Well, a couple thoughts, all right? These are thoughts. But Galilee was home. That's where the disciples were from. They didn't, you know, they had to stay in a place down in Jerusalem for the Passover. The feast was done. The feast had been fulfilled. Christ had paid the price for their sin. The ultimate sacrifice had been given. There was no need to stay in Jerusalem anymore. God was literally with them. The temple veil had been torn in twain. The access to the Father was free to any and all who believe. No need to stay in Jerusalem. Let's go home. And it was on home turf that Jesus says, "I'll meet you there." Could it be that they walked that way scared, fearful, doubting? What's it go on to say? "And when they saw him, they worshiped him," like Mary's, but some doubted, some hesitated. Is this real? I don't know. I am so glad that God helps hesitators. Have you ever hesitated in your obedience to the Lord? Now, as a preacher, I should say first, maybe shame on you. But in condemning you, I condemn me too. We're made of pretty fearful stuff. The world is big and large in our eyes. We see them. We interact with them every day. And so that hesitancy to follow the Lord completely, to wonder, is this real, is something that we face every day too. Oh yes, some worshipped. Their faith had grown strong. Peter and John, remember, had run to the tomb, had seen, he's gone. Jesus shows up as the disciples are gathered together. It seems to still be down in Jerusalem. Thomas is not there. They see him. Their faith is increasing and growing. A week later, Thomas is there. They show up. And now they finally head home to Galilee. What should we do? Well, let's worship. That's appropriate and right. May my life be full of worship of my dear Savior. But when reality set in, they're back home, normal routines of life, there were some that doubted, hesitated. Should I follow Christ? Is this the real thing? What's going to happen next? Good question. We went to get to the book of Acts, and the 11 are still asking, are you going to now bring in the kingdom? Jesus says, no, not yet. That's not what's happening now. You'll receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And this is what's now. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. That's where we're still living, by the way, folks, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. I am to bear witness of the death, burial, and resurrection of my dear Savior and Lord. But I live in this world, and I hesitate sometimes. And so what does Christ give? Well, it's right here in the Scriptures. It's not my words, it's what Christ gives. After they doubted, what does Jesus say in verse 18? And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, them, who's them? Well, we often think of the 11, but them includes the doubters. What's he say to the doubters? All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Stop doubting, it's real. I am king. My kingdom has not come yet, but you're to be my witnesses. Go ye therefore. Keep on reading. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. And lo, doubters, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Is your faith a doubting, hesitating faith today? How can you become what God asks of all of his disciples to do, to be that witness? Live in the reality that all power is given unto Jesus Christ in heaven and in earth. Live in the reality that he is with you. You say, but I can't see him. That's called faith. I am going to live in the reality that Christ is ruling and reigning. I don't have to fear what Springfield or Washington or Roscoe will do unto me. Nor do I have to fear what Satan, hell, and death will do unto me. Those are defeated foes. Christ has all authority. The resurrection proclaims it. It's as good as if it's done already. Now live that way. But I'm scared, Pastor. Welcome to the club. And trust, have faith that Christ is with you. He will never, never, never forsake you, believer. If you and I could come to the point where we believe those things, and belief is acting upon what we understand, all right? That my faith is not demonstrated. You remember what James says? You can say what you want, but my faith is demonstrated by my works. Do you believe that Christ has all power today? Do you believe that he's with you? Then you will go out and bear witness of the resurrection of Christ. May we be found faithful, following our Lord, trusting him, sharing the wonderful news that Christ is risen indeed. Let's pray. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, we want to, and we've tried to today, to worship you, to praise your name, to rejoice in what you've done. But Lord, that's not meant for us to keep to ourselves. For those of us that would hesitate in our faith, doubt and fear, grab a hold of our hearts. Lord, may we live in the reality, in light of the truth. I must believe it and then practice it, that all power has been given unto you in heaven and earth. This world is not in charge. Christ will conquer all sin. He has conquered death. He has conquered hell. Satan is a defeated foe. And so thank you that you walk beside us each day. You are with us, even in particular in light of this passage, as we bear witness of the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, as we teach fellow disciples to follow the Lord, learning all of the Word of God. You are with us in that. Oh, may we rejoice in it and be unashamed of our dear Savior and Lord. Lord, there may be one here today that does not know you as their Savior. They have not put their faith and trust in the resurrected Christ for their eternal life, for their freedom from the condemnation of sin. May today be the day where they turn to Christ alone, who only is the great God, who only has power to redeem souls. May they turn to him alone for their eternal life. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Believer, in light of the resurrection, in light of his authority, in light of his presence, are you being a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ? Maybe today you'd say, Pastor, I needed that encouragement. Would you pray that by God's grace and by his power, by his presence, that I would bear witness to a world that desperately needs to hear the truth that Christ is risen from the dead? Is there a believer that raise their hand and say, that's my need. Would you pray for me today? Yes, several hands already. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, amen. Amen. Believe that he's got all authority. Believe that he's with you. And then go follow. Are you here today without the Lord Jesus Christ? You have not put your faith in the resurrected Lord for your Savior, your redemption from sin. He offers it freely. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Maybe today you say, that's my need today, Pastor. I need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, turn from my sin, trust him alone. Could I pray for you right now? My prayer won't save you, but I could be an encouragement. You say, Pastor, that's my need. Please pray for me. Anyone, quietly raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's my need. Anyone at all. Lord, thank you for the resurrection. Thank you for the hope that it guarantees of eternal life. Lord, thank you that you are with us. You're not a dead Savior. You couldn't be then. You're alive, and so therefore you walk with us. Your presence is with us. Your power is clear. You've conquered. May we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ bear witness to that great, great truth and see others come to know Christ as their Savior. Lord, if there's one here today without the Savior, please draw them to thyself. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen.